So you might say it was a memo from the U.S. Congress to the man upstairs.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. But all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God.
Dear God, that tune from the band XTC. Nice way to begin here, but folks, what is the chance that with everything God has to deal with these days, what is the chance that a little vote yesterday in Congress crossed his or her desk? What? You missed it? Yesterday, the House overwhelmingly passed a bill that reaffirmed In God We Trust, that familiar national motto. Virginia Congressman J. Randy Forbes sponsored the bill to, as he said, confront efforts to remove God from the public domain by unelected bureaucrats. Well, thanks for helping out there, Congressman Forbes. With us today is Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History. Maybe that should be our motto, Kenneth. Good morning.
Good morning. It's certainly the truth. I don't know if it should be our motto.
All right. Well, give us the history. And again, I don't know if this is the most important thing that we need to do. I have nothing against God. I have nothing against mottos. But where did In God We Trust come from? And was it passed at a time when it was a little more urgent to perhaps think about that?
Well, let me walk this back to the very beginning, since we like to talk about the founders. The original motto was created by three guys named Adams, Jefferson, and Franklin. You know,
they're big.
Yeah, big. Three. They came up with E Pluribus Unum, out of the many one. The words under God or In God We Trust were not added to money until 1864. It was an arbitrary decision by the Secretary of the Treasury in the midst of the Civil War. He wanted to show the Confederacy that the Union had God on their side. By the way, the Confederacy, the Constitution includes God. The U.S. Constitution did not. So take that.
There was a slightly competitive issue there. Maybe.
There was a competitive issue. Lincoln was asked, "Mr. President, is God on our side?" And he just was concerned that they were on God's side, not so much whose side God was on.
Slightly hedging the bet.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a piece of rhetoric that has long been in the political vernacular in the United States.
It has been since 1864.
Sure.
On the money. It did not become the United States motto officially until 1956, when it was adopted by Congress. And this was in the midst of the Cold War, the witch hunts against communists, the HUAC meetings. And so it was added to, it was created as a constitutional, as a congressional act in 1956, adding In God We Trust as the motto, replacing E Pluribus Unum.
And so as a national motto, it goes from a sort of a notion of God in our political discourse to being on the money to being something of a loyalty test by 1956.
Well, if not a loyalty test, at least a distinction between America as being a place where God was trusted and God counted versus godless communism and the atheistic communists. So it was really the Cold War distinction between America and Western democracies being having God on their sides, and the Soviet Union being godless.
Now, mottos, of course, have no power of law, and aside from raising a potential issue of the separation of church and state by having God explicitly in a national motto, what is the purpose of such a thing?
Well, I guess to people who believe it, it's a statement of their faith. But we do have a First Amendment that says that there should be a separation of, which is not in the First Amendment. That's a phrase that Thomas Jefferson coins. By the way, 1907, Teddy Roosevelt wanted to take In God We Trust off the money. He thought it was tremendously sacrilegious. He was a very devout Christian himself. He thought it cheapened God.
It's fine to say In God We Trust, just don't do it on the money. Exactly.
He felt that it commercialized God, and there were actually jokes about God and the money back around that time as it became more vogue to use it on all of the money. So Teddy Roosevelt objected to it. He wanted to drop it from the currency, ran into tremendous opposition from church groups, especially the Episcopal Church, was very powerful.
It is a hot button
issue, and who's going to vote against God? You have to. It's like voting against mom and apple pie.
And virtually nobody did in this vote yesterday. Now, let's just say for the moment, I stipulate that people certainly consider this an important idea, trust and God, and I'm not going to dispute that. But at this moment in history, and given the symbolic nature of a motto versus the deficit and some of the other things that we have to deal with in Congress, what is the history of Congress doing something really symbolic when maybe they should be doing something a little more substantive?
Well, Congress has always done things that would fall under the category of grandstanding or making statements. And I don't know what's in Republican Forbes's heart when he proposes this. Maybe he truly does believe that we need to make this statement.
And it's a bipartisan vote. Whether they were afraid to vote against In God We Trust or they believe, as Congressman Forbes believes, they voted for it.
Again, you have to be a brave person, especially in the current climate, to vote against God. It's just as simple as that. So, why is somebody going to say, I'll put my name on it, and nobody's going to pay attention to it. It'll be in the congressional record, and that will be the end of it. By the way, just the other thing here that people always wonder about, the under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance written in 1892
right.
to celebrate the Columbus's 400th anniversary by Francis Bellamy, who was a socialist, by the way, did not include the words of under God. They were also added 1954, again, during the communist fears, to distinguish America from atheistic communism.
All right. So there's this anxiety associated with making sure that we're sort of in the God camp in America in some explicit way. But I have to also say that with all the problems that we have right now, and this is just my view, at this particular moment in time, when you see Congress deciding to stop what else it's supposed to be doing and vote in God We Trust once again as the national motto, I'm thinking, maybe that's time to look for the lifeboats.
Well, it's historically how many other votes on the resolutions that go by every day that we don't pay attention to. They're just those kind of symbolic votes. It's just part of the way Congress.
So it's not them saying, forget everything else. It's up to God, folks. We're done. They're not saying that.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
They're just making it clear that and that the Republicans are the party of God and faith. And
family. We're heading into the election with all this. Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.